Queer and ally fam, listen up. Whether you're searching for a queer-owned coffee shop, a queer-owned tattoo studio, or the coziest queer-owned bookshop, Everywhere is Queer has your back. Our free app connects you to over 17,300 queer-owned businesses worldwide. We have 26 different categories for you to filter between, and yes, we have an online queer-owned business section in app. Our app is available globally on iOS and Android because safer spaces should be everywhere. And if you own a queer business, you'll apply for free via the profile tab of our app. It is now more than ever, the queer, trans, and ally community knows where our safer spaces are, all while supporting queer entrepreneurs. Download Everywhere is Queer today and let's build community together.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This episode and the entire year of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code LOVEISLOVE at cryobank.com and you're going to get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Make those babies, y'all, and then you know what to do. Come tell me about them. Okay, let's get to the show.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
As soon as her parents got home, we told them and we started describing the first donor to them of like, oh, he had this shirt that I had as a kid.
Oh, God.
And
so excited.
Looked like me. And he's like a musician because I do music and all this stuff. And then we're like, oh, let's just grab the computer. And
we'll show you the picture. You'll be so astonished. And then
not that guy.
It got real hot in that room because we're like, that's not who we thought it was.
Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, y'all. The show all about family, but with gay. I'm Jamie, I'm your host, and this is the show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA families in all of our beautiful identities. And this one's a good one, y'all. They all are. They're all my babies, and they're all good. If you listened last week, you remember that last week we kind of dove deep into the known donor connection and everything that goes with that. And this week, we're kind of diving deep into the search for the superhuman on the anonymous side. We're talking about the banks. It's a really fun episode. I had a great time talking with Kim and Katie. You will hear from them in a second. Funny little thing. They thought they picked donor A, and it turns out they actually picked donor B, and they had completely forgotten that they switched donors. So fun. Oh, the ins and outs of donor conception. Am I right? Can I get an amen there? In this episode, we talk about at-home insemination, accidental donor swaps, as you just heard, second parent adoption, and raising a pink, sparkly, drum-playing superstar of a daughter. It's a cute one. It's a good episode. I'm excited for you to hear it. But before I roll that tape, I've been thinking a lot about one little thing in particular here. We're coming to a close of season 18. I can't even believe I'm saying that. We have this episode and one more after it. And then we take a little tiny hiatus. And then we're back for the Pride Extravaganza, the third annual Pride Extravaganza. Yes, yes, my friends, where I pump out double the episodes the entire month of June just for you. And they're going to be fantastic episodes. I've already begun working on that. So instead of four episodes once every Monday, you're going to get 8 episodes, maybe even more on Mondays and Thursdays. And it's great. The Pride Extravaganza is coming at you again, and it's full of pure queer family goodness. But I've been thinking a lot about how much work this little show is that I love to do and that I will never stop doing. And I've been thinking that I might be getting rid of my Patreon. I love all of you Patreoners, all you folks who've gone over there and supported me on Patreon. I couldn't have done this without you. It's been such a lifeline. But with everything that's going on in my life, with my wife who has cancer and my seven-year-old who has some minor health issues, not a big deal, but they're making it so I can't put him in extended care at school. So I'm with him a lot and I'm with my wife a lot and just all the, you know, the hashtag parent life stuff that happens and this job and my actual day job. Keeping up Patreon has become a little bit hard and I always want to put more cool things, more bonus content up there for you. And I always have the best intentions to do so, but life gets in the way. If I could like do an extra episode a week for y'all, I would. It never pans out. And so I'm always putting up random stuff that I don't think anybody even watches. You get the video episodes a day early. I'm not even sure any of you Patreoners even watch it. And my mom keeps telling me it's okay. People just want to support you. But I feel guilt that I don't put more bonus content up. So anyway, long story short, I've been thinking, grappling with the idea of stopping the Patreon. And I wanted to pose the question to you all. What do you think? Should I stop my Patreon? There is a button I can turn on in my podcast host where y'all can subscribe and offer $2 a month or something if you do want to support the show. And I would still try to put up bonus content, but it would not be a promise because I can't promise anything right now in life. But I'm just wondering, what do you all think? Should I stop the Patreon and just continue to try and make this little show the best possible thing and stop spreading myself so thin? That's where I'm veering right now. So please let me know. Reach out. Email me at thequeerfamilypodcast@gmail.com. Send me a DM and let me know your thoughts. But I would like to know your thoughts because if I do it, it will be right before the Pride Extravaganza. And I'll turn on the special button on the podcast host where you can support me if you want to. Anywho, on the home front, things are great. We're on spring break right now and we're about to take a little tiny vacation. We had to cancel all of our big vacations. We only had a couple planned, but we had some flights planned. We had to cancel them because of the breast cancer. And so we decided to take a little road trip. We're going to take a road trip down to DC to see the cherry blossoms, hopefully, and just to get a little bit of change of scenery. So wish us luck on that. We're packing it as we speak. Actually, my wife is trying to pack outside that door, and she's probably annoyed at me because I still am rambling on in this intro. Because I wanted to get it done before we left for our little mini vacation. One more funny story I want to tell you before I roll this tape, and it has to do with donor conception and the funny things we face as folks who've used donor conception to create our families. We had a funny, weird, random health thing, happen recently. My son had his well visit and the pediatrician was looking at his mouth and she was like, oh, I see, you know, the two front adult teeth have come in, but the ones right next to them haven't. I was like, yeah, they're taking forever to come in. She goes, she looked closer. She goes, I don't see them in there. I was like, what? I'm sorry, what? And she was like, yeah, that's a thing. That's a hereditary thing. Do you have that in your family? And I said, no. And she said, well, what about your wife? I said, well, that doesn't really count. She said, oh, right. I guess you don't have that information for the donor. And I thought, nope, that's one thing they don't put in our donor essays or whatever, our folders. There's nothing about their teeth and how they grew in. And if they have people in their family who don't have these teeth grow in, what? So that happened back in November. And I have been freaking out about it ever since then. 4 months later, he finally had his dentist appointment and they took an x-ray. And we're good, guys. The teeth are there. They're just taking a long time to come. They're there, though. I was like, oh, my God. What am I going to email the donor? Am I going to try to find the donor's email and like try to ask, like, how do you ask the question? Like, hey, any chance you have relatives who are missing two of their teeth? Like, so random. But this is donor conception stuff, right? These are the things that you don't think about when you're making your family. You're just so excited to make your family. And thank God this is just a light, silly one. But these things come up, right? And when we were going down the anonymous sperm donor route, I didn't have the foresight at all to think through all of the questions that would come up for us on this path of parenthood. And that's just one of the little silly ones. So enjoy this episode with Kim and Katie, who forgot that they switched donors. It's so fun. Oh, the things we go through. All right, I'm going to roll the tape. Helen, Beulah, Gerson, my lovely, lovely helpers on this beautiful show that I will never stop doing, please roll that tape. Let's go. Kim and Katie, here we go.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Katie and Kim.
Hello.
Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast. I'm very excited to have you on.
Thank you.
We're excited to be here.
And a little nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous. It's just three queers chatting in a group chat. I'm really excited. Where are you zooming in from, so to speak?
We're in our house outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, the last people I just talked to literally are in Philadelphia. Oh, how funny. Small world. Interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's a good place for the queers to be right now. No? It's hard to say. Who knows at this point?
As far as we understand, there's one other two mom family in this township.
Okay.
Which is what they call them here.
That we know of.
Right.
Yeah. At least in our school district, the elementary area.
So it's not that many. Okay. All right. Well,
it's not out right now because it broke, but we had a pride flag out of our house with the trans and everything, and nobody said boo.
Good, that's good. Nobody threw eggs at your house or anything. Well, nobody's going to throw eggs nowadays. It's too expensive.
Yeah, that's true. Cheaper. No toilet paper either, just in case, right?
Just in case, right. Tariffs. You never know. The tariffs are coming. Oh, God, the world's on fire. Okay, let's get into it. Let's get into your 30-second elevator pitch of who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad. Are we ready? On your marks, get set, go.
We are two moms who have one kid. She's 7. And we forgot which donor we picked when we made her. And
found out live in front of an audience.
Yep. And we're just two regular people who have never done a podcast before.
23 seconds. Is that a new record?
That was amazing. That was really well done. And there was time in there for the laughter, too. So, like, that was a good one. I liked that. That was enjoyable. Welcome to the podcast world. Most people who come on my little show have never done a podcast. So, you're in good company here.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And I love that you forgot who your donor
was. Completely, yeah.
So, we're going to kind of hone in on this, what I call lovingly, the search for the superhuman, because it can get kind of crazy. And it sounds to me like yours got a little wild there. Before we get into it, though, can we take it back to just the two of you and how you met and how you got to this family building journey that you embarked upon?
So I grew up mostly in Texas, actually. Oh. That's usually the reaction you get.
Well, with other queer people, anyway.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly.
But we did move around a lot. So I lived in a lot of different places, including abroad and stuff like that. And we both landed in Boston and met online there.
Oh, like on a dating app?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember which one.
I was just going to ask.
No idea.
I don't.
It seems like a theme with the two of you. I don't know. Oh my God, that's amazing. That's okay. We don't need to know what the dating app is.
We're great with details. I don't know.
They're all changed now. People say like these dating apps. I'm like, what is that? That sounds weird.
I know. And I met my wife before dating. Like, I guess there were dating apps, but wasn't like a thing when I met my wife. So I know nothing about dating apps. And so people are always telling me what dating app they met on, and it's in one ear and out the other for me. I don't know.
We don't go anywhere, so we weren't going to meet each other.
That's super lesbian. Let me ask how you identify. I'm a lesbian here. Hi. She, her, lesbian.
She, her, lesbian.
She, her. I don't. I've always labeled myself questioning. Sure, lesbian. I married a woman. I'm here for life, so we're monogamous. So
stuck.
You're kind of living that life.
It stuck, but yeah, I don't know. I dated people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I fell for the person, so.
Yeah.
Aw.
And you ended up in a same-sex relation, and that's where you're staying.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
As the people in Texas might call it, same-sex attraction. I don't know. People in church.
Predilection, if you will.
Predilection. Oh, God. And what I love is you're both in the same house right now, but you're zooming in from different rooms, which is kind of amazing to me. And I love that about you.
Trying to be next to each other with one, mm-hmm. it seemed too much.
Yeah, yeah, I'm all about it. Because now my editor, Gerson, has nice windows for each of you. And he doesn't have to try to make sure that everybody fits on the screen. It's perfect.
Oh, nice.
Very smart.
That's
very true. Smart. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, this is my office. We bought our house, I think it was 3 months before lockdown.
Wow. We bought ours like in the lockdown. Like we were in the process and then the lockdown happened and we hadn't closed yet, but the sale of our apartment had closed and we were waiting for the approval of the place we're in now. So we were in limbo for months. So kind of similar, I think.
Yeah, we moved from Boston into a rental and then the landlady was terrible. Like so abusive of being a land person. And so we started, like, we moved up our house hunt, really early. And thank God we did, because then the lockdown happened and prices skyrocketed.
Oh, right,
and
yeah, she was super racist, super...
She seemed fine when we first met her.
Yeah, all the isms.
All the isms.
Yeah. All of them.
My dog walker is here. I'm not laughing. I mean, I hope I'm not being inappropriate, but my dog is, like, refusing to get off the bed, so she just had to pick her up. Thank you, Lori.
That's amazing. You'll probably see some cats wander around here.
Yep.
Oh my God, the dog was just being so ridiculous right now. Sorry, Lori.
Okay. That's amazing.
You met on a dating app and then tell me a little bit about your path to.
We went on our first date and we went to this ridiculous place neither of us had been to. And it was so funny because I think our waitress was Tiffany with an I. Like, she actually said that.
Or Bambi.
Hi, I'm Tiffany with an I.
Oh, Bambi or one of those names with an I. I'm like, what is happening here? This can't be real. We're being punked or something. And then Katie's sandwich comes and it's got like mold on it.
On the bread. And
yeah. Oh my God. Like, this is setting up to be like the worst day ever, but here we are.
Yeah. And I was so nervous and I wanted to impress Kim so badly that I just like had this like hysterical giggle and like pinched off the mold and set it aside and then kept eating.
Oh no. Oh God.
I went out with her despite that.
That's a true testament to real feelings right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then was it quick after that or was it a U-Haul situation or did you ease into it slow?
It was a kind of U-Haul situation. Katie, you probably remember better. My memory is a sieve, but I think within 4 months we moved in with each other.
Okay. That's
and then quick. 6 months we got engaged and then we got married a year after that. So like we took some time there. So we were together a year and a half before we got married. So.
Okay. All right.
I mean, it was a little bit longer of a timeline than that, but not by much.
And then we sold two places and bought another one together all at the same time. So that was
stressful.
That's fun.
But we made it through that together, you know.
Yep. So. That's awesome. And so when did talk of baby making come into the picture?
From the very beginning, right?
I imagine so.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted kids.
The word desperate was used.
Desperate to have kids.
I always wanted to be a mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is
the Queer Family Podcast. I get it.
Fair.
My only rule was if I were going to have kids, I wanted to be married. I did not, because the protections I felt were stronger,
mm-hmm.
especially for queer people.
And I wanted to have the same last name, like both of us to have the same last name as our kid for the same reason.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. I didn't think of that.
I took Kim's because it's further up in the alphabet.
I'm smart. Interesting.
She got to move up in line.
I did. I was a V and now I'm a G. It's amazing.
That's a big difference. Yeah,
I had no idea.
I'm like, smack dab in the middle.
The whole world opened up to me.
You get called first for everything.
Or at least not last.
Not last, right. Yeah.
Upper middle. It's a good place to be.
I'm right in the middle.
But that was important to us because we had heard horror stories of like, second parent, like mm-hmm. in a hospital, like the kids in the hospital or something, they can't make decisions or something because there's just no trust. And even though we were in Massachusetts and, you know, we got married in 2014. So it was legal, barely everywhere, but we weren't sure and just wanted all those protections.
It wasn't legal everywhere yet. It was only in Massachusetts.
It was legalized in New York in 2012 because Anne and I got married the same month it was legalized. in New York. I don't remember the whole rollout of when each state took it.
Massachusetts was one of the earliest ones. Yeah. So yeah. That was nice because we felt safe there. But for traveling, like our parents live all sorts of places and stuff. So
you talked about baby making early on because we have to know, not only do we have to know that we both want to be parents, but then we have to know how we are going to do it. And you both have to be on board with that because there's going to be conversations here. So when you decided, okay, this is going to be a thing, what was the conversation surrounding how you were going to do it?
At first, I remember mentioning like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if you we could use my egg and put it in you. Like we had no idea reciprocal IVF was a word or a thing. Or I was just like, that would be so cool. It seems like it's possible.
Right.
And then the more we looked into it, we're like, okay, IVF is stupid expensive.
Very expensive.
And then the more we talked about it, we're like, you know, we learned a lot more and went through California Cryobank. And we had a discussion at some point of like, if it doesn't work, we're not going to do IVF. We're just going to cut it off before then because
we were certified foster parents in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Like we went through the classes, we got the certification, you know, all that training. It was quite a bit of effort.
It's intense. And did you do that because it was an option possibly to do like fostering and possibly adopt for you?
Yeah, foster to adopt infants and things like that. So we were keeping kind of everything on the table. And then the very last class, I think, or right before the very last class, we found out we were pregnant.
Well, and after that, the state lost our paperwork. So they never actually contacted us, even though there were kids who needed homes.
Oh, no. Not a queer thing at all. Like they just did a fantastic presentation about, it was just clerical.
Yeah, they didn't care. They just literally lost our paperwork.
Oh my God. So,
sorry, I forgot about that. See?
this is really a theme here. So you were thinking it would be so cool, reciprocal IVF, but oh, that's really expensive. But we're still going to go down a fertility route. But also let's do the paperwork for the foster system just in case the fertility route doesn't work out for us. Is that a good assessment of it?
Honestly, like Kim had always talked about wanting to adopt, and we knew how many kids are trapped in the foster system and just could use some nice folks and an open home. The more we learned about it, I mean, I was nervous at first, but the supports that Massachusetts put in place for foster families was above and beyond. And we were seriously talking about doing both.
Oh, yeah.
And Kim kept joking that, you know, as soon as the pregnancy test comes back positive, we're going to get that phone call, you know, the perfect kid who would fit well with our hearts. But that didn't happen.
Because of clerical errors.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've talked to some other couples who've actually kind of started a couple of processes and then, you know, it's an interesting way to go about it, right? So that you're doing it simultaneously. It's kind of cool. It's awesome. So what was the talk surrounding who would carry and what donor are we doing known? Are we doing, right? Like what's the conversation around that?
I did not want to carry.
It wasn't a conversation.
That was the easiest part of this whole thing. I'm like, I had zero interest in using this body for procreation.
Okay. And Katie, you wanted to carry?
I did.
Okay. So that was easy.
It was like, check. What's next?
Oh, I love it when it's that simple. These are the ways we want things to go. Because when we have to fight over certain things, it sucks within these queer families of ours. It's great when you're both in agreement. So it was already decided. Katie's going to carry.
Mm-hmm.
What about the donor, like known donor, anonymous donor? What was the conversation around that?
We kind of talked about a known donor and possibly asking one of my male cousins or them, but we never got to that point. I think the more we looked into it, it's just the legal parts of it scared us off. And, right or wrong, because now we have an anonymous donor, which is its whole other thing now with all the genetic testing and stuff that's out there and all that.
Yeah, because you ended up getting a donor at the sperm bank, at California Cryobank,
yes.
You mentioned. Is it an open ID donor?
No.
Oh, completely anonymous. Because when you did this, there was still the option.
There was still such a thing as anonymous. Yeah, which we did talk about that, I think, of like, what if she wants to know who the person is? Like, she should have that right to know who it is. But the people that matched what we wanted were anonymous. And I think more were choosing anonymous than known at that time. So it was super limited.
Yeah, I think it was like trending.
It hadn't really started changing yet. There's a lot more now. There's a lot more advocacy for donor-conceived people and all that stuff. And but when we were starting our family, which was even earlier than you, because I have an 11-year-old, the anonymous donor was a big option in the banks. Things have changed. Our first donor that we chose, he was anonymous. And then we were eating dinner with friends of ours who had just had their own donor-conceived kid at a sperm bank. And we were talking about how you chose, because, you know, it's a search for superhuman. And they said that what you basically said, that they chose an open ID donor because they wanted her to have the chance to meet this person down the line. And Anna and I like hadn't thought about it at all up until that moment. We weren't thinking through things at all because we didn't know what the hell it meant to be parents yet. And we like locked eyes across the table and we're like, didn't think about that. And then we ended up going back and getting a different donor also because he didn't have that much sperm left anyway. And it's one of the major decisions you have to make early on before you even know what it means to be a parent, right?
Yeah.
And you had said IVF was off the table. So how did you end up doing it?
I don't remember how many rounds. We did the IUIs in the clinic. We started with that, right, Katie?
Yeah. And we had success after a few of those and then lost the pregnancy at 11 weeks.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So we were sitting in the waiting room discussing cute ideas for how to announce it. And 15 minutes later, they can't find a heartbeat.
Yeah, and she like runs out of the room and we're like, what is happening? And then the doctor, because she's not allowed to tell us anything, but yeah, the doctor comes back and lets us know. So,
oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so it was rough.
We waited a while after that and weren't sure we were going to try again. And we decided to try it at home from then on.
So I had friends/acquaintances, like people I knew relatively well, had met them a few times in person, and they had their kid through at home. So I sort of asked them, like, how'd you go about this? What did you do? What do you need? Because there weren't kits.
No.
Or anything. And so she like explained it with, syringes with no needles.
Kind of the needleless.
Stuff like that. Yeah. And you have to get a different type of sperm.
Like ICI versus like the washed ICI. I this is a while ago for me, so I don't remember. Yeah.
But it was cheaper. So that was nice.
Oh, yeah. Because it's like the unwashed sperm.
Yes. Yes.
Which I don't even know what that means. I am not technical. Yeah. I don't use scientific terms. And
apparently that washing experience is very expensive, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
$100.
Yeah.
So I bought like 100 pack of sterile syringes.
I made the turkey baster joke several times.
Of course, as you must.
And it was a much better experience because we could actually have fun with it and like, you know, pretend we were doing something for real instead of like
maybe make it a little clinical. Romantic. Yeah, because at the clinic, it's not romantic at all. It's like, and then they're like, do you want to hold hands? I'm like, no, not in front of you guys. Thank you, though. Like, it's awkward. It's like, it's so awkward, right?
It's really bad. So went home. I think how many?
Two.
Two tries. So of 100 syringes, I think we used four because I think we did two per try, like two different days.
Right. And you did the tracking and you did all that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The smiley.
Oh, my God. So much pee.
I got so good at peeing on things.
Sure. Yeah. Because this is what we do.
It's a life skill that I'll never use again.
Oh, I'm so proud. I'm so happy for you. No, you're going to use it again. I promise. We're going to figure out a way for you to use that because this was a frozen sperm.
Mm-hmm.
What did you have to do to here we go.
So it comes in a little vial
and
I stuck it under my boob
and let
it warm up to my body temperature because I'm well.
Yeah, and well endowed. And it was nice and warm.
Toasty.
Oh yeah, toasty warm.
Comfortable.
Super happy in there.
Oh my God, I didn't know that was. So, but did you get the whole big like
Yep. Oh, yes.
Cryo.
And the little teeny tiny vial that comes out of it.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know it was that simple.
Yeah, I think there were two vials. So like one per time, and we just kept the other one frozen in that thing.
One in a boob, one in the...
You can't defrost and refreeze.
Yeah. That'd be funny though.
But yeah, just under the boob. And so, because they wanted to come to body temperature, she's like, hold it in your hands or put it under your armpit. I'm like, this is better.
No.
Yeah.
I don't have to hold it. I don't have to like clench your heart. It's just...
Yeah. And it's part of you. And it's so close to your heart. Yeah, exactly. How sweet. How sweet is that?
I treated that sperm so well.
Yeah, you and did.
It was kind of nice because so the second time when it actually worked, we just kind of laid in bed together and watched Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah, you did.
Joseph
and the... I love that musical.
We were singing everything. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
And that's the one that stuck.
Cattail.
This is a very lesbian story happening.
It is.
Cattail coming through the screen. That's amazing. That's a first thawing it under the boob for me that I've heard in my over 200 episodes.
I highly recommend it. Anyone with that ability should totally do it that way because your hands are free.
We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
All right. As y'all know, this episode is proudly sponsored by California Cryobank, the very bank Kim and Katie found their donor at and the bank I found my donor at. Well, actually, Kim and Katie, for them, it was one of their donors. They may have forgotten which one they used, but hey, parenting is full of surprises. Am I right? Whether you're planning an IUI at the clinic or thawing vials under your boob at home, California Cryobank has your back. With an extensive donor database, genetic screening, very important, and ID options, you can find the donor that feels right for your family. And double check, y'all, before you hit that order. You're just going to go to cryobank.com. And you're going to use code LOVEISLOVE, and you're going to get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Even if you're not sure this is the path you want to take, it's a great way to just look around and see if this might be your path. So many options. I love this code. I love it so much. Go to cryobank.com, use code LOVEISLOVE. You're going to get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. You can also use that code for a discount on a level 3 subscription, which gives you even more information on these donors. Go make those babies and then come tell me about them. All right, let's get back to the show.
Love is love.
And so you got to do it together, which is so sweet. And then the second time at home, it took and...
We were so much more relaxed. I really think it's like being more relaxed, being able to spend some time with each other, being able to actually have a little fun with it.
And not having something inserted into my vagina, like that's a plus for me.
But you did have to insert something, right?
Well, yeah. Not like all the way up through the cervix. Like, yeah,
that's not the word not I was the missing.
That opens cervix you up. Is the word. Like, this is such a fun conversation for so many. I just did like the thing.
I know exactly what you mean because it's like this like really long, like speculum. Hollow, like pipette so situation. Long.
It's awful looking.
Yeah, those things are not fun.
Yeah, none of that.
I get it. Yeah, totally. And, you know, you have a little love together. It's sweet.
Yeah.
Since this seemed kind of smooth and we got there and your daughter, you said daughter, right?
Yes.
Daughter's here. Things are going great. Let's talk about the search for the superhuman, the donor search, because it sounds like things got a little dicey in there or something.
I really wanted someone that looked kind of like me. So like on the shorter side, brown hair. Yeah.
same.
Katie's pretty tall, so.
Oh.
And I have like Jewish heritage, so I was curious if there was any of that. I don't remember if that was even part of the listing or not. Blue eyes, like trying to find the person. It was basically me in male form. I remember bringing it down to 4 different guys. Mm-hmm. And one of them had a childhood picture that had a shirt that was the same shirt I had growing up, which I'm like, where was I shopping?
There it is.
And he looked like me. So I'm like, okay, this is our guy. And so we went with him for all of the IUIs.
Yeah, for the first set.
At the clinic.
Yes, at the clinic. And then when we switched to at home, I have no idea what happened, but...
I remember after the fact, like...
Oh, good. Okay.
So he wasn't available anymore.
Okay.
So Kim's like, I don't care. Just pick one of the other 3. Uh-huh. And so... I did.
Right. Right.
We're at her parents' house
for the holiday season. Like, we had flown there, our first flight together, our only time on an airplane together in how many years?
It's been 10 now.
12 years together, almost 11 of marriage. Flying is not good for kids.
I hate it.
You don't like to fly. So you're, yeah. So you flew there. You did
it. We flew there. I don't know how. Every time we went to visit her parents, there was this fantastic
massage therapist
who we always went to see. And so Katie tells her, like, I haven't started my period yet. I might be pregnant. I don't think I am, but just so you know. And so she's like, well, you probably start now if you're going to, because like, this is really relaxing. It tends to start those things. And it didn't start afterwards. So I'm like, okay, now we are a couple weeks into this. We were putting off taking the test, like actually waiting the whole time. And Katie didn't want to take a test. Like, she was so done with the process.
I'm not pregnant. Like, right. what's the point? Like, I was having some, like, what I thought were cramps.
Right. Well, because you were having like a little bit of PTSD, I'm imagining.
Oh, yeah, right? Absolutely.
Because of the loss.
And so we got a pregnancy test on the way home, and her parents weren't home. So I'm like, just do it now. Just while they're out, just do it. That way we can, like, you know, be with each other. And
she really had to talk me into it.
Yeah. So she peed, and then she goes into the other room because she just didn't even want to see it. Didn't want to be in the same room with it. So I'm in the bathroom, and as soon, because you can watch it like travel up the thing. And as soon as it got to it, like, two bold lines. And with our first one, it was like faint. Like, is it real? Is it not? This was like so real. So I'm like, Katie, you're pregnant.
And so I said from the kitchen, are you sure?
And to which I responded, I can count to two.
Right. So, yeah. It's there.
Yes.
Yeah. There's two lines. And
wow.
As soon as her parents got home, we told them, and we started describing the first donor to them, of like, oh, he had this shirt that I had as a kid.
Oh, God.
So excited.
Looked like me. And he's like a musician, because I do music and all this stuff. And then we're like, oh, let's just grab the computer. And
we'll show you the picture. You'll be so astonished. And then
not that guy.
It got real hot in that room because we're like, that's not who we thought it was.
You got like accidentally pregnant. Like, it's like you met somebody at a bar and remembered him completely wrong.
That, I mean, that's as close as I'll ever get. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny. This is like, this is as straight of a story as we can get. I'm not sure who he is, but.
Yeah. We don't know who the dad is, but here we are. It's been hilarious, like, explain, because like, this guy is a professional dancer. He's like out in LA area dancing for famous people and
like goes on tours.
Oh, wow.
He was originally a mechanical engineer and he got bored with that and decided to pursue his dreams.
Yeah, as you do.
We called the baby baby Twinkle Toes because we didn't find out the sex at birth, or I mean, before
pregnancy,
birth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, baby Twinkle Toes. But you still liked this donor.
Oh, yeah. He was one of the four.
Right. So he was still a top choice. You just kind of like forgot who he was.
Because it had been a long time. Because I think it was like 6 or 7 tries before the miscarriage.
Oh,
and then
we
waited
that.
A long time after that, like several months.
Right. So a lot of things happened in that time.
Yeah. And it was, yeah. So it might have been a yearish, I think.
In between. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it doesn't matter. You got your beautiful baby.
Yes, we did.
And you are both parents and it's going well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kim, did you have any feelings about the non-bio connection? Like, what were your thoughts around? I know you wanted a donor that looked like you, which I did the same thing when we picked our donor.
It's hard to remember now because seeing her now, it's like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But I think at the time it mattered. And because I did want someone that looked like me and some of the same heritage. But I mean, the guy we ended up with doesn't really. And it's totally fine.
Yeah.
I think we chose him because it was like art and, like, you know, dancing is related to music. And so, like, there is still a little bit of connection there, but it really doesn't matter because she is her own person.
Yeah, she came out like with who she is. She does not lack confidence in that child.
God, I love that. Good for her. Hold on to that.
And Kim actually tried to breastfeed because she was worried about the non-bio connection and thought that might help.
Yeah. So you tried to induce lactation?
I tried. It's hard. I tried hard and long. And then Katie and
it kind of worked.
A little bit?
I got like 2 drips. I was so proud of myself. And then she's born. And then Katie's boobs like go crazy and are just like spraying.
They were born to this task.
They did a really good job at it.
I tried with her without like, because I was pumping and pumping, trying to induce and taking all sorts of who knows what drugs I was on. I held her up to me, tried, and she was like,
What do you mean I have to work?
This is not how this goes. It's supposed to pour into my mouth.
Right. Oh, interesting. Yeah. When you've got the 2 that are already working.
Exactly. You don't need 2 more. And so, yeah. But I did bottles. Like any bottle we gave her, I think I did. Just to like have that. We were staring each other's eyes. And
right. Because it is a fear. Like for me, it was a fear that I wasn't going to connect. I was so afraid that me and this baby were not going to connect. We connected. Like, you know, it's all good now. But it's a valid fear that many of us face, you know, when going through this.
You can connect with anybody, like, and especially kids. They're like, even if they say things that are mean or whatever, you can still find a connection because they're kids and they're, you know, they're learning. And so like starting from scratch with a kid, it's not so...
Right. You're doing all the work.
Yeah, exactly. So the connection happens. And then there's plenty of like birth mothers who don't feel that connection, or birth parents, I should say, who don't feel that connection right away. It's just as normal as that instant thing people talk about. So,
when I finally did give birth, didn't feel the connection right away. Yeah. So didn't feel the connection either time, regardless of the fact that it came from my body or not. It was a slow process for me, but I got there. Right. So we're all individual in the way things happen. It's just good to bring these things up. Right.
And it's easy to look back on it and think, oh, you know, it wasn't that big a deal. It felt big in the moment, you know?
Every little decision that you make to bring these beautiful beings into the world.
We have to be so purposeful and thoughtful, and it takes a lot of effort.
It really does. We work hard to make our families, and we're super intentional about it. And speaking of intentional, how do you talk to your daughter about where she comes from? How are you going about it? I like books. I read a lot of books.
It was actually one of your podcasts I listened to, and it was talking about donor-conceived children who weren't told very early and the horrible reactions and feelings and all that. And I was like, okay, we need to start today. I think she was 2.
Uh-huh. Maybe. Yeah,
and I was like,
2.
Okay, I went on Amazon. I bought a book, a safari one. I can't remember what it's called.
Zach's Safari.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we have that one.
We started talking. I brought out like the donor information, and she's so funny because she's like, okay, cool. I'll be ready to hear more about that when I'm like 6.
Yeah.
She gives herself a date.
I love that.
Because 6 is, you know, like to a 2-year-old, like super mature.
Yeah. Oh, how funny.
She's just funny. So she takes it on steps. And we're also part of like a sibling group with her. We had a little Facebook group, but we both left Facebook. So
yeah. Smart choice.
We have like a Google thing going on.
With her donor siblings?
Siblings, yeah. Those families.
That's cool.
I think there's about 5 of them that we know of.
That's cool. And you've connected with them.
Yep. Yeah. And we've never met any of them in person. Some of them have actually met in person and had their kids play and stuff. It's another thing Jada's like, I'm not quite ready to talk about that. So, but she knows they're out there. She knows that, you know, all the times that she's ever said, I want a sibling. That's the response. You have them.
Yeah.
They're just not living
exactly
in this house.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a shock. It can just be a part of just the conversation, the family's conversation, so that it's there when they're ready to ask questions about it.
Yeah. It feels like a built-in community. Even though we didn't pick these people, we all pick the same person.
Exactly.
And like that, we already have that in common. And our kids all look alike.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Do they have the Twinkle same? Toes has yeah. got good.
Strong genes.
Well, I have pictures of some of our donor siblings. Well, all the ones that we found. And there is a very strong biological. It's clear. Yeah. It's in the hair color and it's strong, but it is funny, right? And I love that perspective. Like just remembering, we all picked the same person. So right off the bat, we at least have that in common.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it was that made us pick that person, we must have something that we share. I don't know. Well, we do. We have children that we kind of share, but not share.
Most of them are also two mom families.
Oh, and cool.
There's two, I think, that are single moms that just went that route.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see, like, and who knows, because I could imagine a straight couple who needed to go a donor route might not be interested in learning about siblings. So there might be others.
Yeah.
We're just the ones that signed up for the registry and were like really open about it. But
I think that it's more of a shoo-in that the queer families are going to report the pregnancies just because our kids are going to know that we had to use help anyway. So
yeah, there's no getting around that one.
Right. Everybody's going to know we used help. We can't hide it. So
yeah,
we never have to go down that route. We just can't hide it. It is what it is.
And we've always tried to use like the anatomically correct terms for everything that we've talked about with Jada because, you know, she's like, where's my dad?
Right.
Well, uh-huh. Here's this book.
Yeah, I know. Great. Do you call him donor or do you call what? Do you have a name for what you see? Donor? Yeah, we say donor and sperm and egg. And so both of my children, since they were very young, have known how babies are made because, right? Because you have to explain it in a way that a child, and you need this piece and you need this piece. So we got this piece from a very generous guy we call a donor, right? So they have the language, and it's just so funny. Like my 7-year-old was walking down the street. We were walking home with another kid who actually has two moms too. So when it started getting brought up, I thought the other kid was going to know what we were talking about, but because the other kid was like, me and Orion have so much in common. We both like this. We both like Pokemon, and I think I did it. I went, you both have a donor.
Oh no.
And then the other kid didn't say anything. And then, of course, Orion was like, we both needed sperm to make us. We both.
I love that.
He's like, you need sperm and you need it. And then my friend who I was walking with was like, he doesn't know all that stuff yet. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, well, maybe he'll ask you questions later.
He's probably going to let me give you a book list.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, like it's not a surprise. And that's the way it should be.
Because it isn't a big deal, right? Like,
it's not.
Just because we didn't have, you know, sperm freely available to us doesn't make us any less of a family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, mm-hmm. Did that cost. Speaking of freely, geez. And we didn't even go IVF and it was still thousands of dollars.
Yeah. No matter what, we're going to have to shell out some money most of the time. And we're going to have to jump through hoops and we're going to have to get some legal things taken care of. Like, did you do second parent adoption?
Yeah. So we actually did it when she was a little bit older because like we were naive and like we're in Massachusetts. Everything is hunky dory, but we're moving to Pennsylvania. We don't know. So let's do this. And the lawyer who specializes in this was like, you really probably should have done this earlier. You just never know what could happen. So like, and thankfully nothing did happen and we did get it done. So
yeah.
And then we got it like, whatever you have to do when you move to a different state, we had to like go through another lawyer and make sure everything was the right language for Pennsylvania. Yeah.
The estate attorney.
You have to, I didn't know you had to worry about that too. Like you had to update it or something.
Well, the full faith and credit clause does apply for adoptions, whether or not the states are in agreement. Marriage, you know, they kind of skirted around that for a little while, but adoption's never really been in question.
Right.
We just wanted to make sure in Pennsylvania, that like she would be the default beneficiary, because apparently that's not guaranteed in same-sex couples in Pennsylvania. Or at least it wasn't when we moved here.
Right. It's just better to get everything buttoned up because especially right now. I say this, I feel like a broken record. Sorry, y'all, but in every episode I'm saying, especially right now, get it all buttoned up.
Every single day things are changing. And yeah. So like, we don't know what's going to be there tomorrow. Like, what is being signed today? We have no idea.
Exactly.
It's and, just shocking.
Yeah. And people are going after same-sex marriage. Like, it's scary. TikTok asked me to join something and then I had to upload my logo for it. And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, it's cool. They didn't approve my logo. They said it was against community guidelines. My logo is a rainbow. And it says the Queer Family Podcast. So I think it's the word queer.
Yeah.
That they had stipulations with. It said something about like sexuality and nudity.
Yeah, because that, yeah, obviously.
Obviously, because queer. We're talking about nudity and sex, duh. Like, what the heck? Yeah, so things are happening and they're very scary. So get everything buttoned up, y'all, because we don't know what's coming. We don't
estate know. Attorneys.
Yeah, estate. Get your estate, all that paperwork in order. I should probably go back and look at ours and make sure it's all in order.
Yeah, I was just thinking we should probably reread through it.
Yeah.
I know. I'm not even sure who's supposed to get our kids if we die. Like, I don't even remember who we put at this point. So
I remember that one, but
yeah, I remember that. I don't remember much as we've established, clearly, but I do remember that one.
We would get along well because I don't remember a dang thing.
Oh my God, that's me. I always look to Katie of like, what happened?
And it's my memory for me. Same. All of these things that we're talking about are all so super important right now to make sure that we all are protected. And you're just illustrating so well how freaking intentional we are and how bomb queer parents are anyway. Like, we're already better than the rest. So stop coming at us.
It's funny because, you know, we mentioned that there aren't many same-sex parent families in our elementary district. Well, at kindergarten orientation, everybody knew who we were and they were all seeking us out. They're like, hey, we should get our kids together. And we're like, You have brown hair and you're male.
Yeah.
I'm sure I know who you are.
Yeah. I don't remember.
We can't remember. Ted. Any of them. We were so popular though. That was kind of cool. Yeah.
Everybody wants their kids to be friends with the gay mom kid, you know, but now they can't talk about it. So.
We have a good community, even though they're like mostly straight parents, they're allies for sure. And which is good. And that's really good to have here and needed because that's like all we have right now is community.
Yeah, you need your community. We need our chosen family and we need our allies right now for sure. Because the LGBTQIA community is under attack. It feels like that more and more so. So everybody needs to keep safe out there. You know, and you're awesome parents and you're doing a great job. And we need more queer parents out there. So everybody needs to keep going making the babies.
We hope we're doing a good job. She's such a cool person.
Yeah, of course she is. She has you for parents.
Yeah. Thank right? you.
I'm so glad to know you. Is there anything else you wanted to share about your story before we sign off?
She's such a cool person. I just want to say that. She's like the coolest.
Yeah, she started drum lessons a couple of weeks ago. And on the way out of her first lesson, I was enthusing at her. Like, I always wanted to learn drums. And she looks up at me and she goes, Mommy, why don't you? Oh. So guess who else is taking drum lessons
oh,
now?
Oh, cool. I love that. I love, oh my God, my dog just came home. See, it's a lesbian episode. We got the dog, we got the cat.
Cat.
Okay. Oh my God. Okay.
That's a whole conversation.
There's a lot going on. So I'm going to sign off, but this is amazing. I'm so glad she's a badass drummer and keep it going and keep on being badass parents to that.
You too.
Yeah.
You too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You guys rock. And, thank you for sharing that story. It was
awesome.
Thank you.
This was so exciting. I'm so glad to like meet you.
Right here in the flesh. It's nothing special, but thank you. And thanks for listening.
Not true at all. This podcast is super special.
Aww, thank you. Make me cry. Okay.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge, huge thank you once again to California Cryobank for sponsoring this here little show for an entire year of episodes. Go to cryobank.com, use code LOVEISLOVE, and get a free level 2 subscription to their donor================། catalog. Go do it. Let's make those babies and uplift these queer families, y'all. Thank you.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.